Your Eminency, Excellencies, dear brothers and sisters, when St. Augustine was asked what the three most essential ways to salvation were, he replied, first, humility, second, humility, and third, humility. Humility is the courage to seek, accept, and embrace the truth. Embrace reality, even if it is surprisingly different from our expectations and wishes. Only the truth will set us free. All our attempts to change, to reform, must be preceded by a contemplative listening and understanding approach to existing reality. And the necessary, the first preparatory step on the path of contemplative prayer is this: to free our mind, to make it open, to make it empty, to empty it of our prejudices, stereotypes, customs, addictions, and disordered inclinations. Then we must step out of the borders of our home, like Abraham, the father of faith, with courage and humility. Faith is the courage to enter the cloud of mystery. God comes to us as future, as a new, unknown, and surprising future. God is always new. He is bigger than our hearts, concepts, ideas, expectations, desires, and plans. He comes to us as a risen, transfigurated Christ to surprise even his nearest and dearest, even today. He comes through the closed door of our fears and legitimize himself with his wounds. Living, real Christ overcomes all our closed mindedness, all locked doors of our souls. He gives us his spirit to lead us in new ways. Synodality, synodos, is a common path. It is a journey, a transition, like Exodus, a pilgrimage to freedom. It requires the courage to convert from a static being Christians to an ongoing dynamic process of becoming Christians, to move from the known to the unknown, from the old and present to the future that God is preparing for us. We are already Christians, children of God, but we do not know what we will be. This is true not only of our eschatological future, but also of our future in the history, in the world. Our history proceeds through Easter and Pentecost, so it is an open story. The Spirit leads us even deeper in the fullness of truth, constantly teaching us new ways of being Christians and responding appropriately to the signs of the times. We see his creativity in the originality of the saints. To be led by the Spirit is to be willing and ready to be transformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be renewed by the transformation of your minds, said St. Paul. And this is the message for the journey of the synodal renewal of the Church. The journey of finding a new way of being Church, of being more fully and truly followers of Christ. But all changes, even most radical changes in institutions, in the code of canon law, and the textbooks of Catholic morality, would be merely superficial if he neglected the essential spiritual dimension of synodal reform. All changes must be preceded and accompanied by an effort at spiritual and theological deepening, a change of mentality. Synodal reform must be, above all, a transformation of mindset. To repeat St. Paul's emphasis, it is not a question of adapting to this world, but of transforming our minds. To do this, we urgently need to develop the habits of spiritual discernment. Discernment is learning to distinguish between spirits. We need to distinguish the spirit of the age, Zeitgeist, from the signs of the times. The spirit of the age, ideologies, fashion trends, public opinion, the seductions of populists, commercial advertising, and the entertainment industry is the voice of this world. This is what is offered on the surface. The signs of the times, the events that hold deeper meaning, are God's speech. If we take a contemplative approach to the events in the world, in the church, in the changes in society and culture, we can hear God's word, a word of encouragement or warning in them. We can derive the word religion, religio, from the verb re-legere, to read again, to read anew, to understand better. We must never be satisfied with a superficial reading of the Word of God in the Bible and also in the signs of the times. We can an essential part of the synodal process is listening together to what the Spirit is saying to the churches today, our local churches, and the whole body of Christ, of which we are a part. And asking for the wisdom, willingness, and strength to respond to His call. We listen together, and we share how God speaks to other people, because none of us can comprehend the fullness of God's message by ourselves alone. God speaks in many different ways. In a still voice, as to the prophet Elijah, or through a stormy wind at Pentecost. God give us Himself to the whole family of the church and also speaks to people beyond its visible boundaries. We each need to broaden our own limited perspective by listening of the experiences of others. We need to give each other courage on the synodal journey, because God, as we know from the Bible and the history of the church, also speaks through crisis, through the shattering of former certainties. We are experiencing such a time of trial right now. Crises challenge us to change. They show us that we can no longer continue on our current path in our thinking, living, and working style. That is why the crisis is a kairos, an opportunity to respond creatively to Jesus' key sermon, Change Yourself. The call to the synodal renewal of the church is a God-inspired response to the signs of the times, which include global changes in civilizational paradigms. A time of global change is naturally a time of turmoil and crisis. The crisis that our church is going through today must be seen in a broader context. This crisis has many faces and many aspects. It is not easy to distinguish what belongs to the causes and what to the consequences. The crisis of credibility of the church and the priesthood due to a number of cases of sexual, psychological, spiritual abuse is only one striking aspect of this crisis. The crisis profoundly affects us priests generally. If one organ suffers, all organs suffer. This is our crisis, the challenge for each of us. Pope Francis dared to see and publicly admit that these scandals were not just a failure of individuals, but a symptom of the illness of the whole church system. Jesus called it the leaven of the Pharisees, and Pope Francis called it clericalism. Clericalism is a worldly, power-centered understanding and exercise of spiritual authority. We are not called to be the ruling class in the church, but servants of all. Many today are considering the quantity and quality of the holders of pastoral ministry in the church. The steady decline in vocations to priesthood and consecrated life in many parts of the world is a cause for great concern. But even where there are many candidates for priestly ministry, one must ask about the quality, authenticity, and maturity of their motivation. Is it not in some cases a desire for a certain social status and recognition? For more than 100 years, regular prayers, novenas, fasts, Eucharistic adorations, rosary, and pilgrimages have been held in our part of the world to beg for new priestly and religious vocations. However, the number of vocations continues to decline. Does it mean that God does not hear our petitions, or rather that we do not hear his answers to them? I recall a Jewish anecdote in this context. Jewish anecdotes are not only amusing, but often contain theological wisdom. A woman complained to a rabbi, "For more than 10 years, I have been praying to win the lottery, but God has never answered me." The rabbi told her, "But God has answered you." The answer was no. Perhaps God is responding similarly to our desire for more priest vocations. Maybe he is saying a particular way, a particular style of understanding and doing priestly ministry, selecting candidates, and preparing for the priesthood no longer resonates with what I expect for the future. Please do not not knock on the door I have closed for you. Instead, boldly and creatively seek the ones I want to open for you. This is the experience from my life. Sometimes I found the closed doors and I was knocking on them. And then I recognized that God opened another door for me, much more important, much better. So, if we carefully read the final documents of the synods of bishops, for example, the Amazon Synod, we find many valuable suggestions for search for new forms of priestly ministry in the future. When Jesus first met his future apostles, they were tired and frustrated fishermen who had been fishing all night, but their nets were empty. Jesus told them, "Try again, go to the deep and let down your nets to fish." Perhaps Jesus is saying the same thing to us today. Don't despair. Don't give up. Try again. To try again is not to repeat past methods and old mistakes. Trying again often means trying in a new and fresh way. Let us recognize the essential point in Jesus' call to the apostles then and now. Go to the deep. When our nets remain empty, we must ask if it is because we have remained in the shallow. Could it be that we have not the courage to push off from the shore to go to the deep? Which leads to the question, what does it mean in the context of today to heed for the deep? Dear brothers, I wish you courage, humility, and wisdom in finding the way to the depths these days. Thank you.